It's the day before Thanksgiving, and we're going to have some fun today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it is the day before Thanksgiving, and the phone lines are absolutely wide open. We're going to have a good show today, an enjoyable show, an edifying show. Now, you can call and ask me anything you want. You can ask me about sports if you want. Phone lines are wide open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any subject under the sun, I'm happy to give you my take, my viewpoint. Now, I especially want to invite those who differ with me, those who are critical, those who take issue with one of my positions. I want to especially invite you to give me a call and tell me why you differ. Now look, I get hit day and night. I mean, it's part of being a public figure, and it's part of the fact that I take stands on controversial issues. So I get hit day and night, and that's part of it. You know, they're athletes. They love playing on the road where they get booed and stuff like that. They don't come, I get booed. So I'm not saying, oh, poor me. But I'd love to have some discussions of substance with those who differ with me. There's the silly stuff. Here, we want to be a blessing at the end of the year and give something away to everyone. So as we've been saying, this is a great time to stand with us and help us. And I'll tell you how you can in a little while. If we've been a blessing to you, I thought, you know, let me go out of my way and do something special and be a blessing to everyone. So one of my most popular books, Go and Sin No More, Dr. Bill Bright wrote the foreword to that book. He called it magnificent, one of those rare life-changing books. I was really moved by his foreword to the book, the late Bill Bright, Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ and the Jesus movie. And the book's over 300 pages. The paperback is like $17, $18. So I decided to make it available free for 3 days on Kindle. You don't have to have a Kindle reader. Just download it and get the Kindle app for your cell phone, for your tablet, for your computer. It doesn't matter. Absolutely free. Total giveaway for 3 days. And the first comment on Facebook was, oh, yeah, it's probably about why the Jews are special. Keep your free book. So that kind of idiocy and nonsense, that's silliness. But I am amazed sometimes with the viewpoints of other believers and the hostility that they express and the condescending nature of their comments or the willingness to just attack freely on social media, sometimes in ugly terms. And I said, well, let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. I'll give you an example. I wrote an article calling on Gloria Allred to release the yearbook allegedly signed by Judge Roy Moore to her client who accused him of being sexually aggressive with her when she was 16 years old. And this is the one piece of evidence beyond he said, she said, and various testimonies for or against Judge Moore that could prove him to be a liar. Because he said, I never knew the woman. I didn't sign that yearbook. It's a forgery. And if it is a forgery, that would really cast major questions on this woman's testimony, as well as raise questions about the others in a secondary way. So I wrote the article saying, look, for the sake of the accusers, for the sake of the women accusing him, if you've got evidence against the judge, bring it forward. But if he's being falsely accused, you better bring it forward. Otherwise, you're hiding something. For the sake of the people of Alabama, here's my position. I hope he's innocent. It doesn't look good, but I hope he's innocent. I love him to serve in as Senate, but if he's guilty, he needs to step down, period. Well, I get blasted by some folks. You are the reason. One believing woman, you are the reason women don't step forward and tell what happened to them. And that's why the only Christian compassionate response is to believe the accusers. What? I posted a video on Facebook asking about that last night and got a slew of comments agreeing with me, including those from women, mainly women, many women, some of whom on Facebook, Twitter, even a caller the other day saying, I've been sexually molested and I agree with you. So let's have a conversation. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-342-9. I'm just smiling because I was looking at some recent comments sent to me by some of the critics and haters. Yeah, you have to smile. And where there are legitimate concerns and differences, let's discuss them. Absolutely. I have a Twitter poll going. Do you believe that Congress will clean up its own act when it comes to dealing with members guilty of sexual harassment? Three choices. No way, I think so, and absolutely. Well, 114 votes so far. I posted it an hour or something ago. And not surprisingly, 92% say no way. 7% I think so, and 1% absolutely. And by the way, do this. You've got today and then until the end of the day Friday, to get your free copy of Go and Sin No More. This is for Kindle. So you download the ebook, but you don't need to have a Kindle reader. Just download the free app for your cell phone, tablet, or computer, all right, Mac or PC. Get it absolutely free. It's a life-changing book, no strings attached. I believe in giving, just as we encourage you to sow into our ministry. We believe in sowing into you. We do it every day of the week, day and night, joyfully. It's our privilege. But we want to encourage you, take advantage of this. Tell your friends, call your friends, email, text, tell them, download Go and Sin No More on Amazon. It's free for everybody until the end of the day, Friday. 866-34-TRUTH. We will start with Joe in Trumbull, Colorado. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Brown?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. So this is more of a Jewish-related question, but it might have to do with something today, maybe. I'm familiar with the Olam commandments, the commandments that are eternal and that were given to Israel, you know, at Sinai, and most of them are, like, through the Mosaic Covenant. Some of them we can do today. Like, I'm thinking, like, the Shabbat, like, obviously the model has changed drastically, but mm-hmm. what about the, like, Olam commandments that we can do today? Should we keep them? Should we not keep them? And by the way, just my background, I am a Messianic Jew, and I think that, you know, it's very important about, you know, keeping the commandments. So this has just always intrigued me.
Yeah, so number one, as I lay out in volume 4 of my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, roughly 75% of the Olam, the forever, or for all your generation commandments, about 75% cannot be kept without a functioning temple, priesthood, and Jewish sovereignty. So that means for most of our history, we've been unable to keep them. That would then make me to wonder, have those been fulfilled in the Messiah? Otherwise, we have a big problem. You know, it's like God saying, drive this car, but it has no wheels and no engine. Excuse me. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we make a distinction between Messianic Jews and the rest of the body in terms of the Sabbath commandment was certainly given to the nation of Israel, but was never given to the nations as a whole. So we put that question on the side. I say that we read everything in light of the coming of the Messiah into the world. We understand the rest that we now receive in him in terms of the ultimate expression of the Sabbath, and that we look to see what is reiterated in the new covenant. In other words, were there certain purity laws or ritual laws that were simply meant to keep Israel separate from the nations? Is there a purpose in those continuing today? You know, dietary laws would be debated in that respect. But that we because he did not come to destroy but to fulfill, we look at every single commandment through that lens and say what has found its fullness in the Messiah, what is now lived out in a deeper way through the Messiah. For sure, we are called to enter into Sabbath rest in Yeshua, in Jesus. Correct. No question about it. So there's a deeper expression of Sabbath life that we live out today. As far as the seventh-day Sabbath, to me, that's also important as far as life cycle and a marker that sets us apart as Jewish people and keeps us connected with our people. But that has to be, I'm not one that is going to argue strenuously that it must be observed, but rather that this is a pattern of life still relevant for us in terms of Jewish identity. So we relate to the law differently than a traditional Jew would. They'd accuse us.
So you would say that the 25% of the Olam commandments that we could theoretically keep just find a deeper meaning through the Mashiach, you know, through the Messiah, right?
Right, right. In other words, look at them like everything else. Is this something like laws about adultery and divorce that have a deeper mm-hmm. application? Do they have a spiritual application in terms of what's right. the prophetic significance of this? Or is this something of eternal importance to be kept in an ongoing way? Many years ago, Joe, and I'll just say this, I mean, we talk for hours about this.
Yeah.
But I was in a major Messianic congregation from 87 to 93, mm-hmm. I was determined to come up with a Messianic halakha, in other words, Messianic principles of the law, by mm-hmm. which we could put everything in simple categories. I was going to go through every single law of the Torah and be able to put it in categories. And I got stymied along the way because it just didn't fall into categories. So I'm still looking, sir, to find a way practically to lay this out in a way that'll make sense to a traditional Jew, even though they'll differ with me, as well as a Messianic Jew, as well as a Gentile Christian. My book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, touches on the sum. And volume 4 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, I think, has some important data about it. Hey, Joe, thank you for the call and the conversation. We could go for hours on this, but fairness to others, we'll keep going. Thank you, though, for calling in. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fab in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I love the live. I like being able to see you when I'm talking to you.
Hey, here we are. Let's wave at each other. You know, the only problem is, okay, I got to wear a nice shirt. It's fine to wear a nice shirt, but I can't just come in, you know, maybe work out and then, you know, come in dressed casually or something like that. And, you know, if you're doing radio, you got to scratch your nose. You just scratch your nose. Now it's like, all right, I scratch my nose discreetly here. So, but we're glad. We're glad to be on live video. So everyone watching on our YouTube feed, greetings. Yes, your question, please.
Yes. Yes, and yes, you're right. The comments are rather interesting. But, okay, so I actually called about having to attend for this thing.
Hang on one second. You're cutting up as the call is cutting in and out. So just want to make sure that I'm not on speakerphone and that you're talking directly into your phone. All right, just want to make sure about that. Let's keep trying. Go ahead. Yeah, I can hear you well
okay.
now.
Okay. All right. So I called because I'm contending for the faith. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a someone on YouTube who's trying to introduce the very you're going to know the doctrine. It's very similar to Rob Bell, where they're trying to insinuate, they're trying to teach that the lake of fire is redemptive, and that everyone's mm-hmm. going to go to heaven. And so what I did is I listed, I put you down as a reference on the feed of my YouTube. But I also wanted to get just your thoughts on it and why it's important for us to receive the Messiah while we are on earth
yes.
now, because it's not going to happen later.
Yep. So very clearly, Fab, if someone wanted to argue that the lake of fire was a place of final destruction rather than ongoing eternal conscious torment, that's a debate we can have within the faith. In other words, if someone said, well, the wicked will ultimately be destroyed forever, as opposed to the wicked will be consciously tormented forever, that's a discussion we can have and still be within the faith and still be fellow believers, although we'll have a strong difference over that. However, when people say that everyone will ultimately get in, I don't care what church father they quote that allegedly holds to that, I say they are now espousing dangerous heresy. A good book to read on this is Francis Chan's book, Erasing Hell, if you don't have it. Erasing Hell, with excellent scholarly contributions by Preston Sprinkle, who's a solid biblical scholar. Erasing Hell by Francis Chan. And why it's critically important we understand this is it. Hebrews 9:27, that it is appointed to people to die once, and after this, the judgment. In Daniel 12:2, already in the Old Testament, that many will rise, sleeping in the dust, many speaking of the multitudes, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And Jesus speaking of the resurrection of the righteous and of the unrighteous. Some go to life, some go to damnation. And the Rob Bell argument that in Matthew 25:46, where it speaks of eternal punishment, that there's something redemptive in that word, meaning pruning. No, no, no. Utter falsehood. So no, there is no hope given biblically. If someone dies in this world rejecting Jesus, that they'll have another chance in the world to come. Zero. It's a false. It is maybe the most dangerous thing you could tell someone.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, my studio has just been invaded. Almost taken over. Well, this is the joy of Thanksgiving. Okay, so here's the joy of having live radio, not just live radio, but also live YouTube feed that everyone can watch and see. So you won't believe what the wind just brought in. There is my almost 14-year-old grandson, Connor. Are you here, Connor? Connor, where are you? All right, there's Connor. All right, how about a little shout out there? All right. Okay, and then his dad, Jimmy. All right, married our older daughter. Okay, hang on. Anyway, now we got some local guys too. Okay, Jimmy wants extra FaceTime. You're, okay, all right, there we go. All right, and then we've got my other grandson, just turned 14, Andrew, lives around here. All right, hey, and then his dad, Ryan. These are guys. All right, so everybody that's here, just stand up. Somebody's gonna fade out in the blue. Come on, just a shout out, everybody. A little shout out to our radio audience.
No, we. Hello.
Oh, okay. None of you guys have a future on radio. Okay, out of here. All right, thanks. All right, just. Love you. See you later. 866. Down. Just got to get down. You just blocked the whole YouTube thing. Just blocked by bodies. Matt, they are hours of work. Just in a moment of time got blocked. All right. Here we go. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Chris in Bismarck, North Dakota. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brown. I appreciate the time. I'm a bit of a confused Christian, you might call me. I call myself a charismatic Calvinist.
Okay.
Listening to Dr. White and you has greatly edified me just to see your interactions from two sides of the fence.
Excellent.
I guess my question today would be on the charismatic side. I was wondering if you would be able to give me a good hermeneutic to offer an apology for the use of tongues, specifically in prayer. So,
yeah.
I think in a scholarly manner, like yourself and Dr. White, I think both do, and I can't put my finger on how to make an apology for it, if you will.
Yeah, sola scriptura, the word. Okay. I go by the word, period, end of subject for me. Paul explicitly says in the end of 1 Corinthians 14, do not forbid speaking in tongues. He does explicitly say in 1 Corinthians 12, that tongues is one of the gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit given to the body for the common good and for the glory of the Lord, and it's a work of the Spirit. And he explicitly says in the 14th chapter that the one who speaks in tongues speaks to God, not to man, that he edifies himself, that he speaks mysteries in the Spirit, and Paul proceeds to say that he speaks in tongues more than any of the Corinthians. So, while in a public setting, the proper use of tongues is only with interpretation, and Paul said, I'd rather speak five words in a known tongue than 5,000 words in an unknown tongue, in the context of private prayer, it's tremendously important, and I believe it flows out of the Romans 8 principle, beginning in verse 26, that in our weakness, we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us with groanings that can't be articulated in human speech. Now, that I just take to be the sighing, the moaning, the deep prayer. Oh, God, you can't even put words to it. But I also see tongues as another expression of that, where the Holy Spirit prays through us and gives articulation to the burden of the Lord. So for many years, the deepest times of my prayer have often been praying in other tongues, and then the Holy Spirit brings insight to my heart and to my mind to then begin to pray in English for the things that are especially important. So praying in tongues is a tremendously important use. In fact, the primary use of tongues is in private. The public use is very secondary compared to that.
Okay. I'm glad this is recorded because I couldn't write fast enough, so I'll have to go back and listen to all that again.
Yeah, it's all there, but just reading through 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 and taking it literally, and that's all you know. You don't know anything beyond what's written in the Word. Go by that, okay. And you'll be safe and blessed, all right?
Okay. The reason I called is because you are a scholar of the original languages, and I think that's important for me to consider while I'm processing what you've given me. So thank you so much. Love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, sure
and
thing.
Blessed.
And in all candor, sir, there's really not a lot of debate from the original languages. The word for tongue can mean language or tongue, and not the physical tongue as much as the language. So was it an earthly language? That's really context that tells you. Context tells you no one understands, and you need someone who has the gift of interpretation, not just someone who knows the language. You're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. So used rightly, tongues is a wonderful, wonderful gift from God. Hey, I just want to make an appeal, look you straight in the eyes, and say, would you stand with us? Would you help us if we've been a blessing to you? Thousands of hours of free radio, hundreds and hundreds of articles, more than 1,000 videos, hopefully an endless stream of materials that edify you. So many people charge subscription fees to get what we offer for free. And it's not because we can afford to. It's because we want to give it away to get it to as many people. Yeah, there's certain things, books, materials that cost money that you have to pay for just as we pay for. But we go out of our way to give away as much as we can and to avoid subscription prices wherever we can so that we can make the maximum available to you free. But we can only do it with your help. So if you can help us with a one-time tax-deductible gift, whether it's $50 or $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 or $10,000, every bit will help. And it's a critical time. I'm getting ready to go to India in 8 or 9 days. It's an expensive trip. Obviously, we go to the give, not receive. So would you stand with us today? Take a minute to go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. Ask Dr. Brown, donate. Your one-time gift, if you'd stand with us right now, from my heart, I would say thank you. Thank you for your participation. And don't think, well, my part's too small. Every bit helps. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ramon in San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I had a question about, one of my brother is an Orthodox Jew, so we like to go back and forth. And one thing that he was telling me is that that Jesus really doesn't have a claim to be a Messiah. Or he can claim Messiahship, but he's not the Messiah because Joseph was his father, and that Jesus himself doesn't have a biological father that runs through the line of Judah. Okay,
good. Right, so if you have to be in the line of David, then your biological father has to be from the line of David. That would be the argument. The problem is, what if the Messiah is greater than David, the son of David and greater than David? How could that be? If he's a descendant of David, how could he be far greater than David? The answer is that he bears both divine nature and human nature. And we can make a good argument that the genealogy in Luke 3 actually is traced through his mother Miriam, and that Miriam, as his physical biological mother, is from the line of David. You have a precedent in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 where Sheshan has no sons, and the genealogy is traced through his daughter and her Egyptian husband. So I say the answer is his biological mother, through whom his physical lineage is traced, is a descendant of David. His father, in terms of stepfather and royal line, is Joseph. This way, Jesus Yeshua is son of God and son of David. Volume 4 of Jewish Objections.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, it's the day before Thanksgiving, and if you'll go to YouTube later, you'll be able to see the entire broadcast. You can watch it live right now. Go to our YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown. You can watch the live feed. Do you have our app on your Android phone, Ask Dr. Brown? Just click on there where it says Line of Fire, and you can watch live right there. Or you can go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, where it says Listen Live in red. Just click on that, and boom, here we'll be, smiling at you, waving, ready to see you. Everyone listening on radio, we continue the same as always there. But later today, you can go to our YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, watch the show, and about 20-something minutes in, I bring on some of my family. Now, some were dressed in blue, and blue doesn't come out properly on our screen, so they may seem somewhat headless, but I assure you they have heads and bodies and the whole thing working well, everything in good shape. All right, phone lines are open. Any subject under the sun you want to talk to me about, especially critics, especially those who don't like me, those who disagree with me, I especially encourage you to call 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Seattle, Washington. Lucas, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Wow, I'm nervous. I'm talking to you. I'm a big fan. I appreciate you taking my call.
You bet. It's just the two of us. Don't be nervous, all right?
Okay. I'm a former Christian. I converted to Buddhism, to Vajrayana Buddhism, and I've always been a passionate, I'm kind of a hobby theologian. I've read the Quran, I've read the Book of Mormon, I've read Mahayana Sutras, Theravada, read the New Testament when I was in like fourth grade. But anyways, I practiced about 2 hours worth of meditation and practices, and I'm very, very knowledgeable in Buddhism. However, the last about, say, 4 months, I have been obsessively studying Christian apologetics. You, William Lane Craig, James White, et cetera, and I've been, like, for example, I watched The Passion of the Christ the second time, and I sobbed endlessly for 30 minutes. I couldn't even make it past. And I've been starting to have this questioning, and at the same time, there's some reservations I have, because Buddhism, it's so, how do they make up that stuff? I mean, it's true, but it's a lot more complex than Christianity. But something in my heart is driving me. I don't know what it is, but at the same time, I'm kind of on an edge here, Dr. Brown.
And listen. I'm thrilled to hear from you, and I appreciate your openness and your enthusiasm. I have friends of ours, graduates from our ministry school, who've lived in Thailand for years and work in Thailand and have been to the Buddhist temples. And I think the deeper in that you got, the darker you'd see that it is. But here's what you have to understand. You're talking about two completely contrary worldviews, spiritual views, one in which there's a personal creator God who brought us into this world, against whom we sinned, but who sent his son to redeem us, and through whom we can have a personal, intimate relationship with God and then live with him forever and ever and ever. And I assure you that one moment touched by the Spirit of God, one moment experiencing intimacy with your Heavenly Father, one moment experiencing the joy of the Lord and the freedom from the guilt of sin that the Messiah brings would outweigh thousands of hours of Buddhist meditation and experience. And what I'd encourage you to do right now is position yourself mentally and spiritually to take the plunge, that you're going to jump believing that God's going to give you wings to fly. What I mean is that you say, God, if you're really there, if this gospel is true, I don't care what it costs me, I don't care what the consequences, I want to receive forgiveness of sins and be a follower of Jesus. Whatever the cost or consequence, here I am. I'm confident, Lucas, if you do that, God himself will meet you and transform you. Stay right there.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My friends, I want to go right back to Lucas and Saddle. Lucas, you're still there?
I am, sir.
So you, having studied these things, know the profound difference between Buddhism and the gospel, correct?
I do, yes.
And if it, what I said to you, does it make sense in terms of if there really is a God who created you, that he's the one that can reveal himself to you, that he's the one that can change you?
I think I'm ready. I'm actually going to ask you before I hang up. I mean, it's okay if you don't want to. I was actually going to ask if you could pray for me.
Of course.
I'm just wondering how did it get so, I mean, it is so complex. It nails down like the science of life. If it's fake, how did it get so complex? And like, I mean, why didn't Jesus teach that deeply? It seems like it puts much more effort into truth of this life. So it's like, how can it be wrong? And that's kind of where the balance is coming from. I'm like, okay, I at least know that at least psychologically Buddhism is true, but I also have this yearning for Christ, and I have a yearning for a personal relationship. And it's like, I don't know what to do.
It's easy to explain, very easy to explain. Number one, whatever Buddhism teaches you about suffering, it does not ultimately have a redemptive answer to it. And you know, what is the nirvana hope? It's almost a non-existence. You know, existence itself is flawed. So it is not redemptive because it's limited. It's totally limited. That's the first thing. The second thing is the human mind is capable of all kinds of deductions and philosophies and theories. And in addition to that, there are demonic spirits that have great insight, having watched and observed for centuries and centuries and centuries, and that can tell us the bad news and the wrong things. But again, there is no redemptive answer. Here's what's wrong. Rather, you know, here it's like a doctor can tell you everything wrong with your condition in detail and tell you now here's how it's going to work out in your body in the next 6 months and year and 5 years. And they're exactly right because they've been observing the sickness for generations. However, they have no cure. They have no answer. What you will discover is extraordinary depth in the scriptures and say a whole other approach to suffering in the book of Job, which is absolutely profound, and that all kinds of objections to God's order and God's goodness and God's fairness are raised within the Bible to say, yes, this is what people go through. These are the kinds of questions people ask. And the ultimate answer is what? We know very little. What we need is a revelation of God. When you see him face to face, so to say, when you encounter him, a lot of the questions disappear. And you'll find tremendous depth. You know, I could almost look at it like this, that Buddhism is spread out so far and wide in so many ways, whereas what we're talking about goes deep, and then goes high. So that personal relationship you're yearning for, it's got to be for two reasons. People must be praying for you, loved ones, friends, somebody's praying for you. And deep down, God is drawing you because you are a sincere seeker. And as you have been sincerely seeking, unbeknownst to you, God has been drawing you to himself. So here's what I'd like to do, Lucas, all right? I want to pray for you. In fact, I just, during the two-minute break we have, I just tweeted out asking others to be praying for you, saying I have a very sincere American Buddhist, you know, on the line with me. So I want to pray for you. And then, if you can, shoot me a note through the website. You just go to it's askdrbrown.org. You click on contact and just say you're the Buddhist caller, and then that will get to me. My assistant will get it to me, okay? And I want to make sure you can give me an update on what's happening, and I can point you in the direction of some good resources, okay?
Okay, great. That's great.
All right. And listen, here's the key thing, Lucas. When God deals with you, there is going to be resistance. There is going to be flesh that doesn't want to die. There is going to be sin that suddenly is screaming. That's where you trust God. And when you realize you're talking about a radical new life, goodbye to the old, and stepping into a brand new life in Him, you will never, ever, ever have to regret that you've loved God too much or you were too devoted to Him. He will absolutely transform you. And you will be one of the most joyful witnesses for Him that people have met in many years. So, Father, all of us pray right now. We pray for Lucas. Open his heart, open his mind, show him the depth of his sin and rebellion, show him his great need for a Savior, and this very day, in the power of the gospel, save him from death, save him from sin, save him from destruction, save him from hell. Forgive him and give him new birth, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Lucas, I expect we're going to hear amazing things in the days ahead. Thank you for calling. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful call. How encouraging to hear that. And thank God for those that are getting the message out. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ray in Cincinnati. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I'm just going to be real quick here. That's definitely a blessing to hear him give his life there. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. My stance is really this. I don't agree with everything you're saying on a lot of things when it comes to some of the election aspects.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be hot and divisive. Understood.
Absolutely. But I have been following you for some years, and I do have, you know, mutual respect for your ministry. But my position is about the church. The church should, with that election and with anything that's happening in our world, should never be on either side. There's no such thing as a left. There's no such thing as a right when it comes to the church. The church needs to be in the middle. We need to be the ones understanding everybody's position, whether it was Black Lives Matters, whether it was white people, Hispanic people, everybody that's dealing with issues. But I find that the church has taken a lot of sides and positions. And, you know, it's something that is it's demonic. It's not Christ-like. And it really expresses the motive of the heart of people when we take positions and have to put out there when we should be giving solutions. Now, I work with a lot of the white church a lot, and I've worked quite a few. That's why I can say what I'm saying, because I work with a lot of them. And even with what I'm doing, I try to walk the line. Listen, the reality is CNN, Fox News, they're always going to talk about the problem. They're going to talk at each other. But when do we as a church be the solution? When they'll never give the solution because it's not fitting to give the solution. But we as believers.
They don't have it. They don't have the solution.
They don't have the solution.
Yeah. So Ray, just to So just to weigh in. Yeah, and thanks for being a listener and having respect in the midst of differences, different perspectives we may have, especially with elections. Let me give you two responses to this. First, I totally agree that we should not be primarily identified as Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal. We should be identified as followers of Jesus. And I regret. Look, I'm considered to be part of the religious right. I regret that because it is associated with a political party. It is associated with a political posture. And that's not my heart. So then I have Black evangelical friends. Some of them are associated with the Democratic Party, you know, and they have a social justice burden. I have a burden about abortion, and so that's problematic. And to the extent we are associated with a particular political candidate, it gets really sticky. And in that sense, we have to be God's separate party. So I'm totally with you on that. And then whenever I can. When I address a problem or in an article or say what's wrong, I always try to give at least something constructive to say, okay, I'm not just a conservative commentator. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a gospel preacher. Somehow, even if I'm not preaching the gospel actively in every column, I need to give solutions and not just address problems. So I agree with you there. The only thing I would say is that we can't always be, quote, in the middle. I know what you meant by it. But sometimes the left has the right position on something or the right has the right position on something. In other words, what we have to be is impartial and full of justice and truth. And if that causes us to side on an issue with Barack Obama or causes us to side with an issue with Donald Trump, if one is right on health care, one is right on immigration, one is, you know, whatever. But you're absolutely right, sir, that to the extent we are identified with either being on the right or the left or with Fox News or with CNN or, well, Mike Brown, he's just another conservative political commentator. Yeah, I believe that undercuts our effectiveness. And in a heavily politicized society where there's so much Christian activity in the midst of the parties, it's challenging. But I'm with you. In theory, I'm with you. To implement it is challenging. But yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. We're God's party in that respect. Thank you, sir. Change the world.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, it is our joy to be on the radio with you, be on internet 5 days a week, post articles day and night, post videos day and night. We have a small staff working overtime, working sacrificially because we share a common burden to see a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, to see the church revived, to see the gospel go to the nations, to see Israel saved. And it's our joy to give our time, our efforts, our blood for this. We just ask you to stand with us, partner with us. If all of you listening, if all of you watching could just help us with a one-time year-end gift. It's a critical time of the year for us. I'm about to leave for India, my annual trip to India. That costs us a lot. And obviously, we go to give, not to receive. And then after that, I come back, and we're going to be scheduling days in studio recording Jewish outreach shows to air in Israel. Nothing like this has ever been done in terms of what we're about to do with this open door God's given us. If you could help us, a one-time gift, whether it's $50 or $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 or $10, help us with a one-time year-end gift. It would mean so much to us, and my deep appreciation to you. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Go there, just click on Donate. And thank you. Your year-end gift also tax deductible. And remember, from now until the end of the day Friday, we're giving you for free, no strings attached, my book, Go and Sin No More. You can download the ebook at Amazon absolutely free, no strings attached, nothing. Whether you give to us or not, it's my gift at the end of the year to you. I believe it will be a life-changing book for you. That's Go and Sin No More, Call to Holiness, with the foreword by Dr. Bill Bright. Over 300 pages, yours free at Amazon. All right, back to the phones. James in Phoenix, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I had a question. You had a debate. I heard you talk about a debate that you had with Tovia Singer.
Yes, sir.
The first debate. And
yeah,
you spoke about how you promised that you wouldn't release any of the footage on the debate.
Yeah, the tape, the cassette tapes. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's any like highlights that you can at least give us about how that debate went and any like major points that was discussed in it.
Yeah, yeah, sure thing. So, Rabbi Tovia Singer and I met for an impromptu debate at the home of a Messianic Jew, a Russian Jew who was a new believer. And he wanted to really test out the faith and really see who had the better intellectual arguments. So he invited me to his home in Maryland, telling me that some rabbis from Baltimore were coming in. And this is early 1990s. And they agreed to debate with me on the Messiah and the book of Isaiah. I said, are you serious? They're willing to debate that? And he said, yeah. Well, it was actually a setup. He was dishonest. Some counter-missionaries came in, Mickey Miller, Michael Skoback, and Tovia Singer, and then another woman who was also Orthodox Jew and doing Kedah missionary work, Joanne Chinkers. They all came, drove in from Brooklyn, Philadelphia areas, and then sat down. When we got there, there were maybe 15, 20 people there total, and this Russian Jewish man gave us a whole program. It was like a three-hour program. We're going to debate sin and atonement and the Messiah, et cetera, et cetera. So different ones just had cassette tapes, put them on the table, you know, cassette tape players, put them on the table, and we record it. And anyway, so it was like three one-hour tapes. And in the course of it, you know, there were Hebrew mistakes I corrected Tovia on. There were mistakes of substance I corrected him on. And at the end of the night, this woman, Joanne, wanted to talk to me. She was really shaken, deeply shaken. Earlier in life, she had believed in Jesus. And then while dealing with an Orthodox Jew around college age, thereabouts, this person convinced her Jesus was not the Messiah. She became a very zealous ultra-Orthodox Jew, very well educated in Orthodox Judaism, and was living in Brooklyn as an Orthodox Jew for years and was an active counter-missionary. And that debate so shook her that she subsequently got wonderfully born again. She serves as a missionary with the poorest of the poor in Nigeria. I just got an email from her today about terrible violence right near her in Nigeria. She helps children, educates the poorest children in the world. I mean, you can't believe their lifestyle and background, Muslim kids and Christian kids, and she is a shining witness for the gospel. And when people ask her, who led you to Jesus, she says, Rabbi Tovia Singer, because the debate went that badly. Now, subsequently, we had another debate that Sid Roth put together, and this was on his radio program then that blanketed Greater New York City and into New Jersey. And it was a debate that went, a couple of hours with phone calls. And then together, because cassette tape was a maximum of 90 minutes, together, Tovia, Sid, and I all edited it down, got rid of certain calls that we agreed on were extraneous, and we put out the 90-minute debate. And that is still available. You can watch it if you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Jewish. You can listen to it. That was also recorded for television. A 700 Club CBN sent a camera crew. And they said, we just need you to sign for the release of this. They were going to air the debate on their international TV show. And what happened was that Tovia said, I'll sign afterwards, and then he refused to sign. So everyone got duped into doing it. They sent the whole camera crew. Then he refused to sign. But we do have the audio. I did contact CBN some years ago and said, is there any way, the fellow that used to be with them, any way you'd have the archives? Said, no, if the show didn't air, then it was just tossed. So anyway, that's what happened. But you can listen. The second debate, I think, was loud and clear in terms of Jesus, Yeshua, being the Messiah. And we caught Tovia in some serious errors on that as well. He's refused to debate me for bogus reasons for 25 years since. And if you go to my digital library, AskDrBrown.org, and search in the digital library for Singer, you'll also find where I put out a video explaining more of the background and how he has avoided debating me. Even though there's been pressure on him to do it for many years, he has avoided doing it. So that's the background. That's what I can tell you.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
You are very welcome. All right. Do I have time for one more call? All right. Lamar in Gainesville, Florida. Time is short. Weigh in with your question, please.
Hey, Mr. Brown. It's not really a question. It's just that I was listening to the word in Hebrews 11 through some earphones one day.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And the end of chapter 11, where God says, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the Holy Spirit just grabbed hold of me and said, do you not see the love of God? Do you not understand how much Jesus loves you? I just wanted to hopefully share that with people.
Mm. Yeah, Lamar, I appreciate the degree that God's love has touched you. The believers, before Jesus came, they were looking forward to something. There was something that they yearned for that they didn't fully have, that could only be realized with the Messiah coming into the world, and then us being joined together with them, so that together we become one eternal family in the Lord. Hey, friends, have a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to replay a powerful interview with my friends Yesu Padam and Monica from just a few months ago from India. I'm going to replay that for you tomorrow. If you got time to listen to it, check it out. And then we'll be back with you on Friday.